I'm so excited because Corey Pittman is going to bring the word, and he is anointed for this this morning, y'all. He's been leading our men's mentoring group on Wednesday nights, but more than that, he's got a story. And the first time I sat down with him and started to hear his story, I just really began to recognize a fellow father in the faith. Like, really, he carries an anointing to father the nations.
So why don't y'all just welcome, give a round of applause for as Corey comes up to bring the message. Corey Pittman.
Right. Okay, good. I can hear me, so I know you guys can hear me. So, all righty. Well, I am absolutely, let me get this out the way. I am absolutely excited, and I'm trying to contain myself. And those that know me personally know that I like to walk around and I talk with my hands, and so I'm going to do my best not to distract you with what some might say would be a little touch of ADD. So we're not gonna. Well, I'm gonna try to constrain myself while still getting this message out. And you know, one of the things that happened while we were in praise and worship today, the song "Defender." There is so much in there to unpack. When you look at all I did was praise, all I did was worship. All I did was bow down, and all I did was stay still. We see a pattern there that when life happens to us, the first response is stop, praise. And a lot of times it can be real easy to become either legalistic with it or to be all weird and just say, I literally need to stop and praise. And sometimes we have to do that, but it's more so the attitude of our heart, right? So then all I did was worship. You know, you can bow down before the Father while you're standing up, while you're sitting down, while you're at work getting yelled at by your manager. The posture of your heart is what the Father is looking at, and that is also what will further unlock your ability to hear from him. So that while everything that is going around and everything that can possibly distract us, we just bow our hearts down. And then what else do? Stay still. Now, staying still doesn't necessarily mean to literally just freeze, but to calm your spirit, man, to stay still. So, okay, Daddy, you see what's going on around me. So what are you saying to me about this? What do you want me to know about this situation that I'm experiencing right now? What should my proper response be to what's happening? Because when we get his mind on it, as Pastor Jay shared last week, the invitation to come and think with the Father. Lord, what are your thoughts about this situation? Because I want my thoughts to be in line with what your word has to say about it. You know, so as I was saying, I'm excited because I know that each and every person in this room, each and every person that is watching the live stream right now, is going to hear the Father speak to them, and you're going to know that it's the Father speaking to you. And I just can't tell you what an honor it is to have this opportunity to share Abba's heart. And we're going to be looking at some kingdom keys today. Pastor Jay called me last night to check on me when he got back in town, and he basically said, you know, how you feeling? Are you ready? And I said, well, yes, I've actually been praying and asking the Lord, Daddy, come in and wreck us. Wreck us with your love. Wreck us with your purpose. Wreck us with whatever you want to pour out to us. Because there are so many homes and lives that are represented here. And personally, I obviously have no way of knowing what your needs are, right? But the Father knows. And under the corporate anointing, we can all hear what we need to hear, whether it's coming directly out of the message or whether the Father just says, hey, daughter, hey, son, let me enlighten you about the situation that you've been praying about. And in some cases, this thing that you thought that I was not paying attention to. As we talked with the men on Wednesday, one of the points was, if you think about how meticulous the Father is to know every hair that's on your head or was on your head, everyone that has ever fallen out, who does that? Why is that even important? because the Father is a Father of details. And he is concerned and he pays attention. You know, his eye is on the sparrow, right? And if his eye is on the sparrow, that should really encourage us to know that he's looking at us. And if he cares about the sparrow, how much more does he care about the birds? And the animals were basically just spoken into existence. But the Father said, I want this one to look like this. And I want their life to do this. And he had everything planned out. So how much more is he concerned about us? So, having said that, I encourage you to put your expectors on, extend them. Those of you all that are old enough to remember TV show called My Favorite Martian, you remember the antennas used to come out of his head? You know, expect the Father to show up. Expect that you will hear exactly what you need to hear today. Because he's that good and he wants to communicate with us. Every invitation the Father gives us is to partner with him. Every invitation that he gives us is to say, hey, my way is more excellent. And I'm not trying to deprive you of that. I want you to know exactly what I want done. How many parents in here, children, ever ask, Dad, Mom, what is your will for me today? Is it your will that I clean my room? Is it your will that I bathe? What exactly do you want me to know today? You know, our children don't do that, right? Because the majority of things that we expect of them, they already know. Now, whether they carry it out is a whole nother issue, right? But it's not because they don't know. It's a matter of if they are applying it. You know, one thing I got to take a quick segue. When Pastor Jay was praying moments ago for our government and for our president, and I just feel led to say, whether you are in agreement with our current government, whether you are in agreement with who our president is, if you're an American citizen, we have one president. But more importantly, as believers, we are mandated to pray for those in authority over us. And it's a job that I wouldn't care if they offered me $1 million a second. I'm not doing it. I have no desire to become president of the United States. You know, but somebody needs to do it. And so while I don't have a desire to do it, I will absolutely make sure that whoever is in office is who I'm going to be praying for. Much like when we come into service, when we come to church, it doesn't matter who's in the pulpit. The issue is, are you placing the demand on the anointing? Are you coming in saying, Daddy, I need to hear you. I need to hear from you. Whether you speak to my spirit, whether you anoint whoever is speaking, I'm going to hear regardless as to who is standing in the pulpit. That's supposed to be the cry of our heart, because that is showing that our focus, yes, we all have our favorites. Oh, and I love the revelation that this person brings or that person brings. But at any given moment, Lord, it's still all you. And if you're not flowing through them, then I'm not going to hear what I need to hear. So before we go into the message today, we're going to do a little exercise and we're going to make some declarations over ourselves. And so I want everyone to lay hands on their own self. And I want you to make this declaration with me. I'm going to read it out, you're going to repeat after me, and we're going to dive headlong into what the Father wants to accomplish today. All right, here we go. I'm about to receive Yahweh's incorruptible, indestructible, unfailing word in my heart now. Therefore, I speak to my heart, and I command my heart to hear the word of the Lord. Now, I speak to my mind, and I command my mind not to wander, not to think on its own. I command my mind to focus on God's word for me now. I remind myself that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means I'm in right standing with God. I am not a failure. I'm a learner. I'm in right relationship with God. He loves me. He loves me. Not because I'm a performer. He loves me because I'm his child. My Heavenly Father has big plans for me. I am not a mistake. My life matters. I'm not used merchandise. I'm not junk. My Father doesn't make junk. I'm an image bearer of Jehovah Most High. I know who I am in Christ. And I receive what my Father speaks to me today. I command the enemy to be silent. In the name of Jesus. I declare I have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to me today. I declare I have an obedient heart to apply what Holy Spirit says to me. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise. So why such the long declaration? Because we need to shift the atmosphere in here and in here. We need to make sure that we are truly open to what Holy Spirit wants to say to us. In Psalm 24:7, in the Passion Translation, we see, "So wake up, you living gateways. Lift up your heads, you ageless doors of destiny. Welcome the King of Glory, for he is about to come through you. You ask, who is this King of Glory? The Lord armed and ready for battle. The Mighty One, invincible in every way. So wake up, you living gateways, and rejoice. Fling wide your ageless doors of destiny. Here he comes. The King of Glory is ready to come in. You ask, who is this King of Glory? He is the Lord of victory, armed and ready for battle. The Mighty One, the invincible commander of heaven's hosts. Yes, he is the King of Glory." We need to take a moment and selah that. We need to pause. We need to meditate on that. Let that flood your heart. Why? Because in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, we are created in his image and in his likeness. So when the King of Glory, the invincible in every way, shows up, we can look at him and say with bold confidence, that's how I look. His victory is my victory. I can get excited because when the Father shows up, I look just like him because I'm an image bearer. And guess what? When Adam and Eve fell, that didn't destroy the image. We're still created in his image and in his likeness. He knows exactly what we look like. He knows exactly where we are. When he called out and said, "Adam, where art thou?" It's not that he couldn't see him. It's not that he all of a sudden didn't remember what he looked like. The call out to Adam, "Where art thou?" was, "Adam, do you know where you are? We have separated. You're not in connection with me anymore. And so I'm going to fix that for you." And so that is the first kingdom key. As we talk about kingdom keys today, the first one is our identity in Christ. So again, if you're born again, say, "I am."
I am.
Our identity is what unlocks heaven's resources. And if you're not born again, in just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to give your heart to Jesus so that you can be born again, so that you can know what this everlasting life those around you have been talking about, to know what it means to be able to pause, to bow down, to worship, to open up your heart and say, "Daddy, I got a situation here. What should my proper response be?" Because you've already spoken what you want to happen. All I have to do is just align myself with that. You know, One of the things that I was sharing with Pastor Jay, and the pause that you just saw was not for effect. It's I'm getting used to, no matter how many notes I have, to still be actively listening to what Holy Spirit is saying. Because at any given moment, and I have experienced this, that he can change directions. And then it becomes a matter of, am I committed to what's written down here, or am I committed to stay in step with him?
That's good.
And so I wanted to make sure that I'm still staying in step. Amen?
Amen.
2 Corinthians 6:2 in the New Living Translation says, "For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation." So before we look at any other kingdom keys, we know the first one is our identity in Christ. So if you're here today, or if you're watching via the live stream, if you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, here is your opportunity, because today is the day of salvation. So if you're in this room under the sound of my voice, if you've never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, I'm going to extend that invitation to you right now. It's nothing weird. It's nothing all spooky and deep. The only thing it costs you is your heart. And the Father is standing simply saying, open up your heart to me. Give me your heart and watch what I do with your life. So everyone bow their heads for me. Because at the end of the day, this is what we all want to see happen. We want to, and we are mandated to, compel those to follow us. We want to be an example of what it means to be a kingdom citizen, and we want to be encouraging people to come and join us on this journey. So if you're in this room and you are not born again, if you would be so kind as to simply raise up your hand, that'll let me know that you want to be born again, and we're going to do a simple prayer, and then your life will be changed forever. It's literally that simple. Salvation takes a second to obtain, and then just costs you the rest of your life and surrender to the Father. So if you're in here, or if you're watching via the live stream, if you want to accept Jesus, you can just type into the comment box on that live stream saying, I want to accept Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. While every head is bowed and every eye closed, I want everybody to pray this prayer with me. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, declaring that I believe that Jesus died for my sins and he rose on the third day and he sits at your right hand forevermore. So Jesus, I receive your free gift of salvation, and this day my life is changed. I am forever yours and you are forever mine. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, even if you didn't lift your hand, or if you're watching via the live stream and you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family. You should know that there is a party going on in heaven in your honor. The next kingdom key I want to share with you is a statement that a former pastor of mine shared with me many years ago, and the Father used that statement to anchor my faith, and that was, the kingdom life is a heart life. The kingdom life is a heart life. And why is that? Because the Father looks at our heart day in and day out. That's what he's looking at. He's not looking at our outward appearance. He's looking at our heart. And the challenge and the offer and the extension of partnership is to say, let me partner with you to work on your heart, so that your heart beats in rhythm with mine, so that you hear my voice clearly. When we look at Isaiah 1:18, in the Passion Translation, the Father extends the invitation and he says, you know, come in and let's deliberate what next steps we're to take together. When we come into partnership, typically when we think about partnership, each side has a piece that they have to play, a part that they have to play to make that relationship work. And so the Father has already done all that he needs to do. He's just waiting for us to partner with him. How many of you all have either seen or watched the TV show Shark Tank? I actually like Shark Tank. For those of you all that have never seen Shark Tank, there's a panel of 4 to 5 billionaires where young entrepreneurs come, and young meaning they've just started their business or their business has been going for a couple of years now, and they're asking the investor sharks to give them some money so that their business can get to the next level. And even more so than the money, they're actually looking for the partnership with the sharks because they have years of experience in any whatever area that new business wants to get in. And so they'll say, hey, if I can partner with this one, then I know that my business will be a success because of their experience and what I can learn and gain from them. So what happens is that the companies come and they present the company to the sharks, and they'll ask for X amount of dollars in exchange for a percentage of equity in their company. Usually averages about 10 to 20%. Then the sharks will respond based on what they feel the company is worth and what their involvement is going to be. How much exposure to this company are they going to have? How much work are they going to have to do to see a return on their investment? And as a result, some sharks will say, well, in order for me to do this deal with you, I want 25%. I want 50%. I saw an episode where the shark said, I'll just buy the company from you because you really only want to make $1 million. You're not really even concerned about the company. So I'll give you the $1 million, but the company is now my company. Interestingly enough, in prayer, we come to the Father like a Shark Tank contestant. We come to the Father in prayer and we say, Daddy, if you give me X, I'll do Y. I'm willing to sacrifice because this is a desire of my heart. And so then, if you will, think with me for a moment. The Father then responds to us. And when we look at what his involvement is going to be, if you're already a believer, you know he has to do all the work anyway, right? Because he's flowing through us. On the TV show, the sharks will say, well, this is what is going to cost me to do X for you. So this is what I want in return. The Father looks at us and says, hey, guess what? On Calvary's cross, I went all in. I went all in for every area of your life. And so as a result, I don't want 5%. I don't want 10%. I want 100% of your heart. Every time we come to the Father, that's what's at stake. Remember, the Christian life is a heart life. Where's your heart when you come to the Father? When you are praying, where's your heart? Are we praying solely out of need? Are we praying out of fear? Whatever our petition is, let's back up. The word tells us to come humbly but boldly to the throne of God, that we might get what? Mercy. So what exactly does that look like? Because a lot of times we know that when we're praying in fear or when we're praying solely out of need, we can be either operating out of our open ourselves up to this orphan spirit or this orphan mentality of praying from a position of lack. When the word clearly says that we've already been given everything that we need, right? That pertains to life and godliness. So because of our relationship with the Father, when we come humbly from the attitude of not that I deserve this, or that I don't deserve it, but humbly and like, hey, I know who I am and I know that I have access to my Father. I know that I can run right into the throne room, climb up in his lap, no matter what I've done. I can come to him in tears or I can come to him happy and screaming and my hair on fire scalp on fire. And I know that whatever state that I come in, his arms are extended to me. Amen. You know, when we, as children, when we made a mistake or when we were riding our bike and we fell off, I remember one time I skinned my arm something serious and I'm bleeding and I run home and my parent didn't ask or didn't look to say, Why did you fall off your bike? How did you fall off your bike? That wasn't the issue. The issue was, my child is in pain right now, and I need to comfort them. And the first thing that happens is what? Tell me what happened. Tell me all about it. My mother did not ever, when I came into the house after having had some fall or mess up, wait for me to spank me because I injured myself. So how much more when we come to our Heavenly Father is he standing there with his arms extended saying, come on, bring it in. Talk to me about it. Tell me what happened. And then I'll give you some further direction on how to not have that happen again. So the Father says, come. Talk to me. And when you talk to me, you have your takeaway, but we have a leave as well, right? And what is the leave? The leave is our heart. Leave our heart with him. Give him complete control over it. Which brings us to our next kingdom key, which is surrender. And to the degree that we surrender, it's to the degree that we have access to all that heaven has for us. Because how many of you all that have kids know that you're not going to give your teenager the keys to the Bentley if they don't even have a driver's license? And even if they do have a driver's license, forget the Bentley. It could be a Pinto. Only difference is the kids don't want to drive the Pinto. But the issue is that are they surrendered to the rules of the road? Do they have their driver's license? Where's their heart? Why do they want to use the car right now? Their degree of surrender is going to determine how freely you give, right? And so, again, now that's not about performance. That's just about what's the condition of your heart. We want to make sure that we are walking in surrender. The other thing, too, is when we come to the Father, when we come to the table, we want to make sure that we're not leaving kingdom keys when we, quote unquote, leave the table. What do you mean by that, Corey? Casting Crowns did an amazing song called The Altar and the Door. And if you've never heard that, it's simply a matter of there are times that we come to the altar, we come in surrender, we receive forgiveness, we receive everything that we need to receive from the Father. And then when we get up between here and that door, we lose it. Because somewhere along the lines, in that walk back to our seat or that walk out the door, the enemy begins to whisper to us and begins to say, give me that word. You know you're not going to use it anyway. You got your little spiritual fix, but as soon as you walk out that door and walk back into your life, you know I'm going to be waiting for you. And you know I'm going to punk you like I normally do. And you're going to forget all of these wonderful confessions you just made. And it'll be back to normal. So I'm really not even concerned that you presented yourself to the altar because you're not going to change. And for those of us that have thought that, starting with myself, we need to isolate those thoughts. We need to take authority over those thoughts. Those of you all that understand computers, when you hit Control-Alt-Delete and you bring up that task manager, it shows you all of the subroutines that are going on in that computer at that time. All the resources that are being drained that you don't even know what's going on. There are times where some of us have experienced high cell phone bills because of data usage, went over our data plan, and we're like, I'm not even on social media. How am I going over my data plan? Because there are some programs that are running behind that are eating up data that we're not even aware of. And so, as Pastor Jay shared last week, because of the technology that we have, now if you think about your prayer life as a smartphone, right? You're reading what's going on, and you're like, oh, let me blow this up so I can really see it. And then after you blow it up, you're like, okay, well, this part here, this is kingdom. All of this scribble, I don't know what this is, not kingdom. I need to swipe that out. I share with the men, if you think about Tony Stark, those of you all that have seen Iron Man, when he's building the first suit, he has this awesome computer and he has his digital assistant. He doesn't have Alexa or Siri. He has Jarvis. And those of you all that know Tony Stark knows that Jarvis will make suggestions that Tony will be like, no, that's not what I want to do. For us, the Holy Spirit is a lot like Jarvis. He tells us what we should be doing. He makes suggestions, and then it's up to us to either line up with it or override it. But I love how, as Tony is building the suit, right, and he's like, oh, I need this. I don't need that. I need to do all of this. And he's moving. He's actually doing the work. And that's so important, because what happens is that a lot of times we take the attitude of, well, I'm a believer. I prayed. Okay. Where are the blessings? Where's the answer? I'm just standing here, but I'm not doing anything to align myself. Yes, I prayed, but there's probably some additional steps that we need to take. You know, I can't wake up in the morning and say, okay, Lord, anoint me to do my job, and then go to work and be on Facebook all day and expect the job get done, right? If anything, I can expect to get fired. And then if that happens, well, then I have a whole nother situation. Needs begin to fall behind. Donna, you already know, is not going to be happy, which is going to change my countenance when you see me on Sundays. So we have to make sure that we're doing the work. And part of doing that work is just simply, it shouldn't be a rub, because Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. So when we take on that yoke, then our attitude is simply, okay, Daddy, what's the next step? What do you want me to be doing? What should I be focusing on? And then when you hear what to do, do that with joy until he gives you the next thing to do. Much like, look at the things that are already being obedient. Take the Son. From the moment that the Father said, light be, the Son has been shining. At no point has the Son ever said, this whole shining thing ain't working for me no more. I need to explore some other options. I want to see what else is out there for me to do. I'm tired of shining. You know, I want to go visit places. I got stuff I want to see. No, the Son, if you ask the Son, hey, Son, what are you doing? The last thing Daddy told me to do. Well, what was that? Just be. Just shine. So what was the last thing the Father told you all to do? And are you doing it? And if you're not, that's okay, because he understands. There was a post on Facebook that I saw several weeks ago that every time I think about it, it just blesses me so. And that was, when the Father called you, he factored in all of your stupidity. And so when I read that, I said, yes! There's so much hope for me. He factored in every mistake. This thing, when he created the world, he took one grain of sand and measured out every beach on the planet. And knowing that there would be erosion over the years, and still knew that, hey, guess what? Water, you can come this far and don't go any further. In just a moment, we're going to look at our final kingdom key, at least for this message, and that's going to be communion. And communion is such a huge kingdom key. In Luke 22, we see the communion story. And what amazes me about this story is that Jesus, the Bible says, is excited about having the Passover meal with his disciples. And he begins to tell them, I'm so excited to be able to do this with you, because shortly I'm going to be tortured. I'm going to be persecuted. I'm going to die for you guys. I'm going to die for the world. But before, it's important that we share this meal together, because I'm not going to have this meal again until everything has been fulfilled. And the disciples, in their far less than infinite wisdom, hears this and then begins to argue amongst themselves, wondering who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. they completely miss the point of do this in remembrance of me. And as we look at communion, as we begin, and I'm going to encourage you now, begin to prepare your hearts to receive communion. But as we do, the do this in remembrance of me is far more than just remembering his death, burial, and resurrection, which is important and which is key and is key to our faith. But what did his death, burial, and resurrection actually accomplish for us? In addition to reconnecting us with the Father, which was primo important, we get to do the things that he did as a result of what he unlocked. He unlocked all of heaven's resources. And so therefore, when we take communion, we have the ability to say, as we take the bread, which represents his body, and as we drink of the cup, which represents his blood, we can say, hey, this act, I remember as I do this, Lord, that not only did you die for my sins, but you died so that I could be healed. You died so that I could be in right relationship. You died so that I can walk in my wealthy place, so that I can be prosperous in whatever that looks like. It doesn't mean that we're going to step into a $1 million. It could mean that, but that's not the point. The point is that it unlocks us to be everything that he created us to be. So when we take communion with that in mind, we don't want to look at the one aspect of it, of he died for us, which is true. We need to step back and what's the bigger picture here? What's really going on? And to know that when he was on Calvary's cross, that he looked at us, that he saw us. Imagine that. That from Calvary's cross, he looked down and said, Bill, I see you. And I'm going to die for you, knowing exactly the totality of your life. I'm not changing my mind about you. I'm not changing my mind about any one of my father's kids, any one of my siblings, since I'm technically their big brother. I'm still going to do it. And to know that from that point, just that one look, imagine the look that Peter got from Jesus after he denied him. And the Bible says that that Jesus just looked at him. And that look wasn't to condemn him. And we know that's true because when he rose, what did he tell Mary and Martha? Hey, go tell my disciples and don't forget Peter. Let him know that, hey, I'm not mad at him. I get it. And I get it so much that I already foreknew that he was going to do that because his heart wasn't where he thought it was, and he didn't know. There's a lot of choices and a lot of decisions that we made because we thought our heart was in one place when it really wasn't. And guess what? The Father knew that, and there's grace for that. Why don't you stand to your feet for me? Pastor Kelly recently posted in KRC on the Facebook group about not leaving blessings on the table, not leaving kingdom resources behind. We want to make sure that, just like in the song Defender, let's stop, let's pause, let's be more cognizant to Selah our moments and our times with the Father to make sure that, okay, Daddy, I know what I just heard. Unpack that for me. Make sure that we don't just get so excited that we to hear his voice that we don't hear his voice. Make sure that when we enter into his rest, we enter into the rest of God so that we can enter into the rest of God. I'm going to say that one more time. When you enter into his rest, make sure you're entering into his rest, his whole rest. When we go up a level, it's great to say, hey, I'm no longer, let's look at school for a moment. When you go from being a freshman in high school to being a sophomore in high school, you can't just say, hey, I'm a sophomore now. You have to do sophomore stuff before you can do junior stuff, before you can do senior stuff. And the same is true in the kingdom. Okay, everybody's saved. Wonderful. Now what? What is the kingdom stuff that the Father wants you walking in? What is the kingdom stuff that he wants you focusing on? What is the kingdom stuff that he wants you to do? The declaration that we made at the start of service was actually, the idea behind it was taken out of Ezekiel 38, the Valley of Dry Bones. And in that, the key verse to me that amazed, the two things that amazes me about that encounter is, one, the Father asked Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? And then, you know, Ezekiel's like, well, what, you really asking me? And then he says, well, Lord, only you know that. And then the Father says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, you prophesy to the dry bones. So now Ezekiel has his part to play. And then here's the other key. The Father says, I'm going to give you what to say, but it's still going to be you speaking it. You have to open your mouth. You have to make the declaration. And the first declaration actually wasn't dry bones live. The first declaration was dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You got to hear first and then do. Not do and then hear along the way. And that principle applies to every area of our life. Amen. So much so that when we have a need, okay, for those of you all that have ever taken your wallet or your purse and you open it up and it's echo, echo, echo. What did Ezekiel do with the dry bones? Dry bones clearly, and at least in the natural to our knowledge up to that point, they can't hear. They don't have ears. And yet the Father said, command them to hear the word of the Lord. Finances, I command you to hear the word of the Lord and get your scriptures on finances. Body, I command you to hear the word of the Lord. Get your scriptures on healing. The earth. And what's so key about this coronavirus that's going around right now is that this is such a prime time for we as the believers, we who name the name of Jesus. The earth is groaning and travailing, waiting on us, waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God, the sons and daughters of God, God's children. Well, what does that look like? Well, we saw with John G. Lake, that means virus die on contact. But not just corona. When we're stepping into who God has called us to be, that means, hey, guess what? Earth, house that had horrors done in it. Us being able to grab that dirt and say, I redeem this dirt, this land for the kingdom of God. And I declare this land innocent. This land is forgiven. We saw that all the way back in Genesis when the Father told Cain, your brother's blood is crying out from the earth. When we step into who God has called us to be, when we step into our sonship and we know who we are, it's not about being, well, should I be doing this? It's just let the Father do it. What is our responsibility? What is our ability to respond to what's going on? We know what the word says. Now it's just a matter of applying it and continue to apply it. Seek and it shall be found. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. But that knocking is a repetitive. That seeking is a repetitive. It's not just, no, I don't see it. Oh, well, this thing don't work. No, it's this constant staying after it. It's keep staying after it. Keep doing. Keep hearing. Okay, sometimes things need to be tweaked because the Father can tell you, I'm going to use this person to do X in your life. And then when it doesn't happen, it's like, okay, well, Lord, I know you said that. The Father knew when that person would actually yield. But the issue is, are you being obedient to do what the Father told you to do regardless of the outcome? Because it's not about the outcome. It's about our obedience. The Father can take care of the outcome.
Yeah, good word.
When we have bosses that wrong us, we were supposed to get that raise, that promotion. We were looking. I had a situation where I was guaranteed a promotion, went out, moved into a new house with the anticipation that I can afford this now. And then the owner's son looked me right in my eye and said, oh, well, this had to be put on hold for an indefinite number of time. I hope you didn't just go buy a new house. And I was like, you have no idea what you just did. But guess what? That company was not my source. And Donna and I knew this is where we were supposed to live. So because this is where we're supposed to live, Father, while it would have been nice to meet the need through the job, but hey, now the lid is off. However you want to come in and do it, I know you're going to do it. And so then going back to the heart, was my heart tied to that job meeting the need, which is not Yahweh? I don't work for Jireh at that job. I'm submitted to Jireh in heaven, who sees and knows everything and who knew that I was not going to get that promotion at that time. And so as a result, it's like, well, where's your faith at? Are you going to give up now? And then what is the is it the Marines to say retreat? How do we go back when it doesn't work out? I'm going to close with this before we do communion. Abraham was obedient to go to the promised land. When he gets to Canaan, there's a famine. And unless there's some new translation that I've not read, Abraham decided, man, this is jacked up. And this is where God sent me. Come on, baby, we're going to Egypt. At no point did the father say, I didn't see that famine about to happen, so I'm going to send you to Egypt. So we don't know what would have happened if Abraham would have stayed put when he got to where God said, go. He didn't give the father enough time to see, is there a plan B? Or, hey, is it about to start raining? What's going on? How is this need getting met? It's, hey, it's barren here. Let's go. I must have missed God. Did you miss him? Or did you go where he said? And then when you got there, did you say, this is barren? Okay. Let me praise, let me worship, let me bow down, because clearly it's not supposed to look like this. Give the Father a chance to move. Because one of the things that happens when we get to those barren places, again, what's going on in your heart? When you get news that, hey, you're about to go through a health challenge, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Is it, well, I know my daddy has this, or is it, I knew I should have did X, Y, Z. I should have hung out with the boys or the girls. I should have got with this person or that person. I should have taken this other job. My life would have been so much different. All the stuff that I think felt like I missed. And if that's what's going on in your heart when you get news of opposition, submit that to the Father and say, Daddy, I didn't even know that was there. What do you want me to know about that? Clearly, you allowed that to surface so that you could deal with it. Not because you want me walking around with regret, but because you want full control. And that's clearly an area that I have not submitted. I didn't even know that that was there. So give the Father an opportunity to show up. As the ushers come forth and we begin to take communion, there's a song that we're going to play. And again, I can't emphasize enough, when you prepare to take communion, see that as a kingdom key. See that as your opportunity to connect with heaven and to connect with the Father. From a standpoint of Jesus, while you were on Calvary's cross, you saw me, you saw the state of my heart, and you still chose to die for me. You love me that much.
Get close.
And while I thank you for dying for me and for connecting me back to the Father, I also thank you for everything that your life, your sacrifice opened up to me so that I can do the greater works. So that I can walk in right relationship not only with you, but with everyone around me, because you designed me to be 100% dependent on you and then interdependent on everyone else around me, because it's not about just me. It's about connection to humanity so that I can do exactly what you have called me to do. And so we're going to pray, and then we're going to play this song. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that as we prepare our hearts for communion, as we prepare to enter into the rest of you, Lord, as we prepare to enter in and to experience new heights, new depths, new encounters with your love, we thank you for this opportunity to partake of communion, because we recognize that you saw us and that your love compelled you, that you were obedient even unto death for our sake, and that you didn't want heaven without us. And we are so grateful. We are so grateful to be able to identify with you. We are so grateful that we have our identity hid in you. And that because we do, and because you are the door, we can never be trapped, because you're the door and we just walk through you. Thank you, Father. We receive our communion. We receive divine connection with you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Real quick, say this with me. He is for me.
He is for me.
He is for me.
He is for me.
Look at your neighbor and say, he is for you.
He is for you.
Look at your other neighbor and say, he's for you.
He is for you.
That is absolutely amazing to know that the favor of God is going to visit our children for generations because we're connected to him. Knowing that Daniel's children's children, until the rapture happens, the favor of God is going to be on their lives because of what we're doing now. So we're going to have a quick word of prayer, and then Pastor Jay is going to come with some final announcements. Father, thank you for this day and for this opportunity to gather together, to hear your voice, to hear another facet of your heart, Father, because we know that you are inexhaustible. We'll never hear every sermon this side of heaven. We'll never know all that there is to know, Father, but we thank you for the components and the pieces and the facets that you reveal to us, because you do so with intention and purpose, because you know that just catapults us into our divine destiny with you, Father. So we give you the glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers us and keeps us, in Jesus' name. Amen.